Well, are you ready for the Word of God this morning? I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, it's after Hebrews for the young'uns, but we're going to go to 1 Peter. And I want to start out in verse 13, 1 Peter 1, 13. It says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." Now, in verse 16, Peter is actually quoting Leviticus 11, 44 and 45, where it says, "Be holy, for I am holy." And he quotes that portion of that scripture. Now, the question we began to raise last week, we've been talking all this year about be holy for I am holy and different aspects of that. But the question is, why should we live holy? What is the point of it? We've talked about a reward. There's a reward. There's benefits to living holy. There's benefits to doing the right thing. But there's more than that, because sometimes some people say, well, it's just selfish doing it for those reasons. And it can be. And you can still do right things and just things and proper things, but it can just be for selfishness. So there's a higher question than just that there's a reward to it, but why should we be holy? Why should we as believers, as Christians, be expected to live at a higher level than what the world lives at? And to answer that, I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, and we're going to read through 10. He says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit..." I circle the words "all" in my Bible when I come to those, because it's all malice, all deceit, not just a few, all of it. "Hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Now, I'll just take a breather here. But one of the reasons we should be holy as God is holy is we are living stones. We are being built up into a spiritual house. We are offering up spiritual sacrifices to be acceptable to God, and unholy, unclean things can't do that. If Jesus is the living stone, but we are living stones being built together with him, then we have got to be of the same essence as Jesus. Otherwise, we cannot be built together. I'll give you an example of that. This is an absolutely amazing thing, because we know how we're taught everything is random. Creation is random, all this, everything's just random. But let me give you some facts here. Most of our buildings today are built out of concrete and steel to reinforce the concrete. Now, one of the things that we don't normally think about is concrete expands and contracts with temperature. Steel expands and contracts with the temperature. Now, if there is any variability between these products of their expansion and contraction, the concrete will break, fall apart, and you'll just have a bunch of steel hanging out there. Isn't it amazing, in a random universe, that concrete and steel have exactly the same amount of expansion and contraction? Think about when you drive over a bridge. The handiwork of God, of putting these two things. What is rock? It's just earth, just a little bit of cement thrown into it to make it concrete, to make it all stick together. But how does it just randomly happen? The concrete expands and contracts at the same rate as steel, which is a mineral, which is an ore, which is processed, which is man-made and purified and had things added to it to make it strong. It's like, isn't it just amazing? If there's just a little amount, just infinitesimal difference of the expansion and contraction, every building we have literally falls apart. Isn't it amazing? See, God has designed us as born-again people to be built into Him. That we can build a living house. That we can offer up spiritual sacrifices because He's made us just like Him. Isn't that amazing? That's an awesome thing to think. And nature shows us that. I mean, you can look at a lot of different things. You say, well, how are these things compatible? Because God made them that way. And if God had not made them compatible, they wouldn't be compatible. But he does these things. Okay, let's go on in verse 6. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, we're the ones who believe, okay? He is precious. We believe that he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. Now understand this. I'll take another break. We as believers are appointed, predestined, if you want to, purposed, if you want to be obedient to the word of God. So what's God's will for my life? Be obedient to the word of God. That's your purpose. Well, what do I get out of that? Don't worry about that. God's got rewards for you if you're obedient. He's got blessings for you if we are holy, even as he is holy. But the thing that differentiates us from the world is our obedience. That's the thing that sets you apart. You know, it's interesting in our presidential campaign right now that one of the Republican candidates has said exactly what the Democratic president of the United States has said, that marriage should be between a man and a woman. When the president said it, everybody said, wow, that's really wise. When the Republican said it, well, that's just hatred. That's just bitterness. He hates people. That's why he wants marriage to be between a man and a woman. But see, it's who says it? The world says. Now, what's the difference in it? Why do they get upset at one person who says it and not at another person who says it? Because one believes it. And see, the devil doesn't care what you say if you don't believe it. And we know that in the world, in the natural, people will say things because, well, they have to. They have to get elected. They have to get the contract. They have to get the job. They have and they lie. That's why the world calls them liars, because there's no consistency in them, because they intend to be disobedient to the word of God that God has appointed for us. Amen. It comes down to a simple thing. Will you honor God? Will you be holy even as he is holy? Okay, go on to the last of verse 8, they stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. Verse 9, talking about us again, but you, this is why, and I think this is the main reason why we need to be holy as God is holy, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Hallelujah. See, we're different. We're set apart from the world. We're appointed for his work. We're appointed to be living stones, to be built in with Christ, the living stone. And we are a holy nation, a peculiar people. We're an odd sort of people because we know our God. We recognize him and we honor him. Amen? Now, we got to understand you're different from the world, and it's obedience that separates us out. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, do you not know that the saints will judge the world, and if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? God has set you and I, has prepared you and I to judge the world. Think about that. And if we're going to judge the world, then we've got to know God. Now, to think about this, he set the saints. I think this is interesting. He set the saints to judge the world. How many of you are saints? Okay, hallelujah. You're saying a mouthful right there. 1 Peter 1:15, if you go there, it says, as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Now, the word holy there, we talked about this last week, but I've got to say this to get into what I want to today. The word holy there means, in the Greek, is hagios. It's used 229 times in the New Testament. It's translated 161 times as holy. Not as saint, but as holy. It's interpreted 61 times as saint. That means almost 3-1 it's interpreted holy other than saint. And when we hear saint, we hear, oh, well, that's a believer. No, a saint is not a believer. A saint is one who's holy. Yeah, but I believe. But are you holy? Are you set apart? Are you sanctified? Is your life marked by obedience to God? Now, four times it's actually interpreted holy one, meaning God. Be ye holy, even as I am holy. Hagios. God is holy. And we are to be holy as he is holy. Wow. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. How are they going to know that you're who you claim you are? Only if you're obedient to the word that you claim to believe. Yeah. Good. You don't stand out if you're not obedient to it. Yeah. You're not different if you're not obedient to it. So you've got to be willing to set yourself apart. Now, I'll just say this. To abstain from fleshly lusts, pressures, which war against your soul, this is your first war. As a believer, this is your first war. I'll put it a little bit differently. In Romans 12, I'll just read it. Well, I'll go to it and read the whole thing. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, hagios, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, again, the word holy there is this word holy, but it also is interpreted as saints. Now, you wouldn't read that. Brethren, you therefore, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, saints, acceptable to God. It doesn't make sense that way. But holy, oh, I understand that. But holy is the same word as saint. So whenever you hear the word in the Bible, saint, or you think of yourself as a saint, you're calling yourself holy. Holy as God is holy. Well, brother, I would never go that far. God does. But I'm not perfect. No, you're not. But you can still be holy. You can still be sanctified. You can still be set apart. See, we are continually being cleansed of unrighteousness. We are continually working out our salvation with fear and trembling, but you're still holy. Why? Because you're working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Because you're trying to do things and trying to improve and trying. You're holy because you're setting yourself apart to be different from the ways of the world. And you're saying, I am different. I am distinct. I am separate from the people in the world that are dying. I'm holy. Set apart for good works. Set apart to be used by God. Now, Romans 12, 2 says, and do not be conformed. See, all this is about sanctification, isn't it? Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's about being different. Holy, different. Acceptable to God, different. Which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. Listen, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is this good and acceptable and perfect will of God. to this first war that we're in is more than just abstaining from fleshly lusts and pressures. It is literally the renewing of your mind to how God sees you. It's renewing who you think you are. See, so many people say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, yeah, that's true to a degree, but once you're saved, you're no longer a sinner saved by grace.
That's right.
Now I'm a child of God.
Yeah.
Am I still saved by grace? Yeah. Do I still miss it? Yeah. But, oh, I didn't put this in my notes, but in 1 John, he says, my beloved brethren, these things I write to you that you may sin not. Well, I could never get to the place where I would never sin. The Bible says you can. The Bible says you can be filled with the fullness of Christ. Mm-hmm. Oh, I could never do that. See, this is why it's a war. You got to renew how you think.
Yes, that's right.
How many of you are born again? You've asked Jesus into your heart. I think about everybody. Okay. Now, does Christ live in you?
Yes.
Yeah. Is there ever a time that Christ is not in you?
No.
Now, we know that intellectually, but do you live that way? How would you feel if you were tied to somebody and they kept walking through the mud and you just kept getting drug along behind them? Because you're tied to them. You're inseparable. You've committed yourself to them. I'll go where you go. I'll be where you are. Whatever you do, I'll participate. And we just say, well, I'm going to walk through the mud today. Come along with me. But yet we do that to Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
We do that to the Spirit of God.
Yes.
That's why the Bible says, come ye out from among them and be ye holy. Be you separate. Be you distinct from everybody around you. And in order to do that, I've got to change the way I think. Because if I think I'm a sinner saved by grace, instead of I'm the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, I'm going to live differently whichever way I think. If I begin to accept that I am holy because God is holy and God lives in me and God is cleansing me, there are certain things I won't allow myself to do anymore. Because if for no other reason, this is a verse that got me in my first church. It really just struck me. If you lead one of the least of these little ones astray, it would be better for you to have a millstone tied about your neck and thrown into the water. It's like, huh? See, the world is watching you because you've said you're a Christian. They're watching your conduct. They're watching your language. They're watching how you work. They're watching your activities, your leisure time. They are watching you. And Jesus warned us, if we do something that leads a little one astray, oh, it'd be better for you to be thrown off of a bridge in the water with a 150, 200, 300, 400, 500 pound weight around your neck and drown because you led a little one astray. If for no other reason, it's amazing, parents always get holy once they have children. You know, I mean, even Bette Midler years ago says, I wouldn't want my daughter coming to see any of my shows. So she quit them for a while until her daughter got older. And she's like, I just got to go back and do this, you know. But, so many of these people, I don't want my kids watching my performances. I don't want them seeing my movies. Why are you doing it? Why are you doing what you're doing if you're ashamed of being caught doing it by your children? Why are you doing this? Now, see, that's not a moral indictment. That's not a letter of the law. There's just certain things you know you shouldn't do. And no one's made out a list, but you know, I can't do this stuff anymore. There are certain things you'll do on the streets that you won't do in church. Well, you shouldn't do them on the streets either. Listen, God is everywhere. He sees everything. He knows every thought. That's a scary one. You know, I would rather have God see everything than know everything. Because some things I think only I know. And then I think about it, it's like, oh, God already knows that. How do I hide this from God? I can't. Well, what? That's it. That's that inner witness in me. You shouldn't think this way. You shouldn't have that thought going through. See, I've got to renew my mind to take captive those things that are, those thoughts and ideas that are against God. Amen? Vine says this about sainthood. He says, sainthood is not an attainment. It is a state into which God in grace calls men. Yet believers are called to sanctify themselves, cleansing themselves from all defilement, forsaking sin, living a holy manner of life, and experiencing fellowship with God in His holiness. Hagios, to be a saint, to be holy, is more than an outward ritual. It is godliness. It is living like God lives, living as what pleases the Father. Go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. I'll get there in just a second. Jesus said in Matthew 12, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever fills our lives, fills our heart, fills our thoughts, fills our attitudes, those are the kinds of things that will speak, that will manifest themselves in the natural. And in Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to read the King James Version, verse 31 to 33. It says, I think that's all of it. Oh, I'll just read part of it here. It says, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, it's interesting. I like how the King James says, take no thought. Take no thought saying, what shall we eat? See, because, you know, we think so much about what we've talked about earlier, the temporary things. And when you're focused on the temporary things, you lose sight of that which is eternal and everlasting. And if all you're concerned about is how I get by today, how I look today, how I eat today, where I go today, if that's all you're thinking about, you're not thinking about the eternal things. You're not thinking about His righteousness. You're not thinking about His kingdom. You're not thinking about whether I am holy or not. All you're thinking about is I've got to get by for the day. I've got to get what I can today, because you never know what tomorrow is going to bring. And you're just focused on all the natural things. And he says, but if you seek first, if you put your thoughts on the kingdom of God, if you put your thoughts on His righteousness, everything that you need in the natural will be given to you. If you think about the eternal, they will cause your needs to be met. Now, in a practical way, if we do everything as unto the Lord, who is not going to want to hire you? Because you're going to be a faithful worker. You're not going to cheat. You're not going to lie. What woman, men, what woman wouldn't want you? Women, what man wouldn't want you if you do everything as unto the Lord? I mean, it's like, wow, this would be a pretty cool place, wouldn't it? You wouldn't have to worry about liars. You wouldn't have to worry about cheats. You wouldn't have to worry about thieves. I mean, you wouldn't. It would solve humanity's problem if we would just all live holy. But we're in an unholy world.